Hey everybody, welcome to another Leafy Green episode of Songs in the Key of X. I'm your host, Jeffrey X. Martin of Biff Bam Pop, and by the gods, we are in the thick of it now, aren't we? And by the thick of it, I mean my pubic hair. Not really. I mean summer, and if you're anything like other people, you've probably got some kind of garden going. Some cucumbers, maybe some tomatoes or green beans. If you're in Canada, maybe you're growing pot. Lucky you. You get those three plants, and that's it. We got some maters and cukes. That's garden lingo for those of you in the audience who don't understand Southern, and a nice little herb garden growing out there. That's herbs because there's a fucking H in it. I thought we should do an episode about plants and gardening and the cultivation of outdoor life forms, and I wanted to bring an expert into the situation to find out what their favorite songs about botanicals were. Look, I had to hunt high and low to find someone who was willing to come on this show and talk about garden songs. It was a very difficult search. It was long. It was arduous. And then I realized that I was married to a professional gardener. So please, welcome to Songs in the Key of X, Hannah Martin, or as I call her, the cootie bug. Hello, darling.
Well, hello, darling. Thank you for having me on your show.
You should tell the listeners what you do.
Well, I guess technically you could say I'm a professional gardener.
Are you paid to do it? Because if you're paid, you're a professional, baby.
I am paid to do it. I am the grounds and property manager for Ancient Lore Village here in Knoxville, Tennessee. It is a wonderful, magical place, and my primary responsibility is taking care of the, you know, like 2,000 some odd plants that are on the 5 developed acres that we have at the village.
That's incredible. And yeah. I will give you a chance to plug the village again at the end of the show, although, you know, I've already dropped the F-bomb at least once, so the chances of your bosses listening to this are next to nil. Oh, God. Now, look, when I have a guest on Songs in the Key of X, we never tell each other what songs we have chosen. It's more fun for me that way. So I have no idea what is on Cootie's list, and she doesn't know what's on mine, and it's going to be funny if we end up picking, like, all the same songs.
That would be crazy.
That would be hilarious. So with that in mind, why don't you bust the sod, as it were, and throw out the first song?
Okay. Going backwards, 5-1. My number 5 pick is probably not a surprise to anyone. If so, you either don't know me or you haven't been paying attention. My number 5 pick is Belladonna by Stevie Nicks. And the Belladonna is Auntie Stevie's debut solo album. Okay, it was released in 1981. This song obviously is the title track from that album, but I was 4 years old when the song was released. Okay, y'all.
Oh my god.
So obviously it was a few years later when I heard it, but Auntie Stevie is ubiquitous. I mean, she is a blonde-haired goddess of inspiration for people like me. You know, she sings of love and longing and finding your own path in spite of the madness that's going around in the world. So Belladonna, just a snippet of it, okay? And the lady's feeling like the moon that she loved. Don't you know that the stars are a part of us and the lady's feeling just like the moon that she loved? But belladonna is a poisonous plant. It's also known as deadly nightshade. And you know this, X, but it's one of my life's ambitions to have a poisoner's garden one day. And I plan on having belladonna in it just for Auntie Stevie.
I wonder if I should be worried about that.
Now, we've talked about this. We have an agreement.
You don't get to kill me with poisonous plants.
I will not slip belladonna into your apple cinnamon tea one night.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate that. Here's my number five. Tones of one John Lydon, formerly of the crass and repugnant Sex Pistols. The song is Flowers of Romance from Lydon's post-Pistols band Public Image Limited. You have no idea how much I just spit all over the mic saying all of those P's. This song is from the band's third studio album of the same name. There's no mention of what the Flowers of Romance actually are. They could be roses, they could be daisies, it could be belladonna, we don't know. What is important is the invocation of flowers, how they somehow invoke romance, and how Lydon is smacked to the ground by his intended's refusal. He sings, I brought you flowers, you wanted chocolates instead. Fickle. Fickle. It just goes to show that no matter what kind of pretties you grow in the garden of your heart, all it takes is one offhanded comment to cast those flowers into the dustbin. Cootie, your turn.
Oh my. For my number four, you're going to have to bear with me because I do have a point. And I'm going to make it. My number four is Runs in the Family by Amanda Palmer.
From the pity, from responsibility, run from the country and run from the city. I can run from the law, I can run from myself, I can run from my life, I can run into debt, I can run from it all, I can run till I'm gone, I can run from the up and run from the cause, I can run using every last ounce of energy. I cannot run from my family, they're hiding inside of me, locked in the night. Carry if you like, but just don't tell my family, they never forgive me, they say that I'm crazy, but they won't let
So this song is off of her 2008 album, Who Killed Amanda Palmer? Okay, now I've been following Amanda on social media for a very long time. Before that even, I read her blog. I literally fell in love with this woman before I even heard her music. She's weird. She's a little edgy. She's independent, like fiercely independent, which I respect. And she is utterly transparent, which are all things that I value and strive for myself. So at this point, you're probably asking, how the fuck does this relate to gardening, right? You're literally asking yourself that right now.
I am asking myself that.
I am, as of this birthday for which I am doing this podcast, 46 goddamn years old. Okay, I spent the majority of my adult life trying to find a job that didn't suck out part of my soul with every passing hour. At the ripe old age of 44, I tell people I literally had a midlife crisis. I told X I want to quit my job and work with plants. And he was like, well, okay, you should do it. You've been threatening this for like 10 years now. Fucking do it. And so I did. And next to marrying X, it was the best decision that I ever made in my life. So I come from a long line of gardeners, not professionals, mind you, no one who went to college, no botany degrees, just good old-fashioned gardeners, women who loved lilies and hydrangeas and roses, men who knew how to plant by the signs and how to yield the best harvest from a bunch of mater plants. It's in my blood, y'all. It runs in the family. Amanda says, run from their pity, from responsibility, run from the country and run from the city. I can run from the law. I can run from myself. I can run from my life. I can run into debt. I can run from it all. I can run till I'm gone. I can run for the office and run for my cause. I can run using every last ounce of energy, but I cannot run from my family. And it just strikes a chord with me. All of my life, I felt like I want to do this. And I never made it a priority until I was in my mid-40s. And here I am making more money than I ever have in my life and feeling the least amount of stress at work that I have ever felt in my life. I have a great work-life balance and I'm learning every single day, and it's something that I'm very passionate about.
Well, this show's over.
But
I don't know how I can top that. Let's get out of the garden and out into the yard. Here's my next pick. This is number 4.
I will pounce on you. Just us and the cuckoos. You are helpless now. Over and over we flatten a clover. Shock me to the things we used to do on bread. It would shock you to the things we used to do.
From the 1987 neo-pagan classic Skylarking, that is XTC, with the ambiguously titled Grass.
Nice.
What kind of grass are we talking about here? Is it a nice fescue or a calming sativa? There's no way of knowing, and I think XTC leader Andy Partridge wanted it that way. The wonderful thing about this song for me is the pastoral feel that permeates the music. If you listen, you can hear the crickets humming in the thickets. You can smell the blue sky. You can experience the waves of heat rising from the dried dirt. This isn't just a song. It's an emotion. It's a gorgeous summer day, just frolicking in a field away from the adults. Anything is possible and everything is forgivable. Now, I've done an entire show on XTC before, which we can find in the archives, but Skylarking is one of my all-time favorite albums, and Grass is one of the best tunes on that record. It's a glorious return to the earth and all of its senses. Also, they might have been super high when they recorded this. I don't know. I don't know how drugs work. I mean, I do, but... Cootie, it's your turn.
You make me laugh so hard. I don't even know if I can follow that, because my number 3 pick is actually really dark.
Okay.
Number 3 for me is The Herb Girls of Birkenau by Rasputina.
It's not like they matter. Looks like got your spirit. Listen how your shadow fell. They can hear it. It's not fair. And it seems impossible that it happened at all, that there were people who saw the Herb Girls of Birkenau.
I know. So this song is off of How We Quit the Forest in 1998. Yes, 1998. I'm here squinting at my screen. Okay, imagine this. It's sometime in 1998. My not quite 2-year-old daughter is in bed. I am with my first husband in our split level townhouse in Augusta, Georgia. We're sitting on the couch watching some late night TV. He's eating a salad or some shit. I don't know. He did that. And I'm reading, like I did, and Conan O'Brien is on. He liked Conan. I was never a big fan. But interrupting my baby pagan Llewellyn reading time comes Rasputina. They were a guest on the show. Needless to say, I stopped reading whatever neo-Wiccan bullshit I was engrossed in at the time because, oh my fucking gods, what is this band on this ridiculously heavy TV, because it's the 90s. So they didn't perform Herb Girls of Birkenau that night. It was Leech Wife. But still, it was the first time I'd heard them And I fucking fell in love with him. I immediately went out and bought How We Quit the Forest. I didn't know, as heartbreaking as this song is, I had no idea what it was about. So I had to look it up. I don't know if y'all have looked this up or if you even care, but this is about a death camp in Nazi Germany. Birkenau was the largest of more than 40 camps and subcamps that made up the Auschwitz complex. During its 3 years of operation, it had a range of functions. They started construction in October of 1941. It was supposed to be a camp for 125,000 prisoners of war. And then it opened in March of 1942 as a branch of that. But the majority, probably about 90% of the victims of Auschwitz, died in Birkenau. So this song, when you listen to it in that context, is just even more heartbreaking and beautiful. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. But my point there, or not really my point, but I love the song, and I love how it talks about these girls gathering herbs and gathering berries in their aprons. You know, it speaks of this people using the knowledge that they have to try to survive in obviously the most horrible of situations.
I can always count on you to lighten things up.
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, well, I can't say nothing because of my next pick. Let's move out of this place and into a place very much like this place, except that it isn't like this place at all, and it's not even on the same continent. Here's number three.
People
It was 1986, and REM was moving out of their indie darling phase. Michael Stipe was beginning to sing in a way that you could understand. He was throwing out that old mumbling Mike moniker, and he's throwing it under the bus. This song, The Flowers of Guatemala, is from their underloved 1986 release, Life's Rich Pageant, which is my all-time favorite REM album, by the way, so take that for what it's worth. But the song only hints at the depth of beauty that the band would achieve on their later albums. It's kind of a soft, mid-tempo piece, and it's lyrically evocative with phrases like, flowers often bloom at night, and they cover over everything. Very simple, almost nursery rhyme, but in this song, the flowers cover over the graves of Guatemalans who were killed when the United States helped overthrow the country's democratic leadership. Yeah, buddy, it was a coup, and the U.S. backed it up in 1954, leaving Guatemala under the fascist rule of Castilla Armas. Now, when you sit down and make a list of good things, fascism should not be on it. This is one of the few songs that actually names the flowers that the song is about. So the flowers of Guatemala are, in fact, Amanita. And guess what? They're mushrooms. And this is even better. They're poisonous mushrooms. So you eat those suckers, and you're going to go into a coma, and you're going to die. So in this song, the mushrooms, the Amanita, represent the United States and their deceitful political actions. To quote another band I love, death is everywhere, and that's what the flowers in this song represent, and maybe I shouldn't have brought this up at all. Cootie, beloved, it's your turn.
I love it. That's the perfect follow-up for the Herb Girls of Birkenau.
I mean, again, I had no idea what you were doing, and then that happened, and I just want to go, like, I don't know, watch National Geographic Channel or something. It's just terrible.
Well, I'm going to lighten it up just a smidge, not a lot.
Of course not.
just a smidge. My number two pick is from a band that I have loved since I was 16 years old, I think. It's Rain from Concrete Blonde.
Rain, laughing at the window, thought I saw your face, only cloudy images on my window pane, and all I hear is rain. And things I try to say.
Rain came off of their album Mexican Moon, which is probably my second favorite Concrete Blonde album. I fucking love Johnette Napolitano. Seriously. The obvious choice from Concrete Blonde for a gardening podcast would be Roses Grow or The Sky is a Poisonous Garden, right? But this song is haunting. It's a ballad like only Johnette can deliver. I mean, what gardener hasn't prayed for rain? Either for it to start or for it to stop. The thing about Johnette is that she is fucking raw. Every line she sings is like a gut punch. She's going to reach into your belly, grab hold of your wet, raw innards, and make you remember that heartbreak your sophomore year in high school. Oh, here it is. Remember when you, quote, lost your virginity? Oh, that's here too. All of the awkwardness, all of the feels, all of the doubt, the love, the hope, the hurt and the dreams, Johnette knows them all, and she will sing them to you in English and in Spanish if you stick around long enough. I'm pretty sure that Johnette Napolitano is the 90s. She's just the 90s embodied. This song doesn't have choruses and verses. It's just four stanzas. The last one says, rain, laughing at the window, thought I saw your face, only cloudy images on my window pane, and all I hear is rain. And all the things I tried to say.
You make me want to get drunk.
Okay, we can do that after the show.
You make me want to get drunk and just go live in the woods where no one can hurt me anymore. Wow. What's funny is, you know, I did Roses Grow a few seasons ago. I did a Rose show,
yeah. And
Roses Grow was on my list for that. So
it's one of my favorite Concrete Blonde songs. I love it.
I get it. Let's head back to 1970 for my next pick, and here it is.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. I beg your pardon.
Fuck yes, old country, Lynn Anderson with I Never Promised You a Rose Garden.
Oh, I love it.
One of the best Don't Stick Your Dick in Crazy songs ever recorded. Anderson compares herself to the titual, is that the word I'm looking for? The word that's in the title?
Titual, yeah.
Titual?
Something like that.
Tituba, Salem Witch Trials. Anyway, she is the rose garden. It's pretty, and it smells good, and it's fun to show off to other people. But listen up, bumblefuck. There's thorns up in this shit. And if you're an asshole, then you'd better get ready to bleed. Yeah, I'll gloss over all my weirdness. Why do you have to be so melancholy? But there's a catch. You don't find roses growing on stalks of clover, so you better think it over. Do you hear me? You have been warned. There's a reason that old poets compared vaginas with flowers. I don't know what that reason is. I don't know what that has to do with this song, but I'm pretty sure that it's something. We are in the home stretch now. Cootie Bug, throw me your number one garden nature plant song.
I have another 90s song. Nobody's surprised. My number one is In Bloom by Nirvana.
'90s song. I'm so surprised.
My love for Nirvana is well documented. In Bloom is off of Nevermind, which was released in 1991. Okay. So I reckon the fact that they're one of their songs is number one for me is not a surprise to anybody. X, have you seen the video for In Bloom? You probably have.
Oh, of course I have. Yeah.
Like, is this the Beatles?
It's very much at the Ed Sullivan Show. It's cracking me up.
It's fucking hilarious. But I mean, you know, like most of the songs that I have listed here, it's really kind of tangentially related to Garden. If you be really, really literal and scrunch up your eyes and not read into any possible entendre, lots of the lyrics of the song can be connected to gardening. Like, weather changes moods, spring is here again, reproductive glands. Are we talking about puberty or Beltane or spring? I mean, give it a name, right? You know, we had record pollen counts in the valley this spring.
We do. I can barely breathe.
We can have some more. Nature is a whore. Bruises on the fruit, tender age in bloom. Again, can be taken a couple of ways, but nature is a whore. Hear me out on this. Example, Bradford pears. Fuck, dude. It was bred to be sterile, but it so is not. This bitch is cross-pollinated with other species of pears and has procreated groves of monster stinky pear trees. And they're thorny. It's taken over. Nature will find a way, dude. And there are so many invasive species that are fucking thriving here, like kudzu, bamboo, honeysuckle. Have you heard of hogweed? This shit causes blisters on your skin. So yeah, nature's a fucking whore, Kurt. You nailed it, buddy. Yeah, but as far as the he likes to shoot his gun shit, I don't know, man. I don't even think Kurt knew.
It's mushroom spores.
Ah, well, there you go.
Just shooting up into the air like fireworks or, you know, ammunition on Memorial Day. That's a great song. That's a great pick, and I never would have thought of that. So hooray for you.
Yay! What's your number one?
Let us high our collective asses back to 1982. No one is surprised by this either. From the album Pornography, that is The Cure with The Hanging Garden. There's an easy correlation to make between this song and the famous Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Now, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon were at one time one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. They were described as a terraced structure, just strewn over with plants that spilled over the sides of the walls. Water was provided for the plants by the means of Archimedean screws, a sort of water wheel that provided sustenance to every living thing within the walls. Just imagine it, all right? Trees, ferns, succulents, fruit trees, a veritable conservatory of plant life for everyone to observe and enjoy. Now, if you ask Cure singer-songwriter Robert Smith, he'll say this, and I quote, "The Hanging Garden is something like about the purity and hate of animals fucking."
What?
That's from a 1990 interview with Robert Smith, by the way, so I'm not making that up. It's a bit of a dichotomy, isn't it? It's either one of the seven wonders of the world or the buggery of critters. You can make up your own mind on that, but to me, this song represents nature in all of its glory and grit, a weird cycle of production and reproduction, and how humanity cowers in the face of the grandeur of it all. I got two things before we get out of here. One of those is, Cutie, here's your opportunity to talk about, again, where you work, what you do, and what you love about planting. So, you know, not a loaded question at all. No pressure.
None at all. So, again, like I said, I'm the grounds and property manager at Ancient Lore Village. If you haven't heard of Ancient Lore Village, please look us up. Website, www.ancientlorevillage.com. We are all over social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We're out there. It truly is a beautiful magical place. To be able to work somewhere where you go in every day and look around you and your heart just swells at the beauty of the place is priceless. I cannot even tell you guys, but if you've got the dough and you've got the time and you want to come hang out, hit me up and let me know. I would love to give you guys a personal tour when I'm off the clock. But yeah, I like to brag about the place. I like to brag about what I've done there and what I am currently doing there. 5 acres of developed property. We have 66 full acres. So we've got walking trails where you can hike. We have axe throwing and archery. We do all kinds of events. All of this is on top of just stunning rooms that you can rent for the night and stay in. So look us up. And if you're so inclined, book a room, book an event, hit me up, let me know that you're coming.
Cody, how can they hit you up?
They can hit me up on Instagram's probably your best bet. I am at Hexen Cootie. That's HexenCootie.
All right. Here's the other thing. Your birthday was 2 days ago. And you specifically requested that this show be presented close to your birthday. Happy, happy, by the way. I wasn't going to get into how old you are, but you've already said it.
Already said it. Yep. I'm on the downhill slide to 50, y'all.
Right. Hooray for not being rude. But I will say this. I grew up in the 80s, but you are most definitely a 90s girl, and you've got the boots to prove it. I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Okay.
What is your favorite 90s song and why?
Oh, shit, my favorite 90s song?
I am a jerk.
You are a jerk. That's really difficult to answer because I am a Cancer, and everything tends to change with my mood, you know, and the moon cycle and the freaking time of the day. I think being put on the spot, my go-to answer every time, and y'all are going to laugh at me because this is a really popular song. And from what I've heard from bartenders that I've worked with at the Village, it's apparently played a lot at the end of the night in bars, and that's kind of embarrassing. But my favorite song would have to be Semisonic's Closing Time.
So gather up your jackets, move it to the exits. I hope you have found a friend. Closing time, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Yeah, I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home.
It was released in 1998 on the album Feeling Strangely Fine. Literally, it's like, oh yeah, you guys got to get out the bar, right, if you listen to the lyrics. But I've always kind of dug a little deeper than that because, again, Cancer, and that's the way that I am. I see it as a metaphor for the end of your life. You know, I know who I want to take me home. For me, it's kind of a heartbreaking, beautiful, uplifting kind of a song.
You're the best. People, that's going to wind things up for this episode, so let's get some housekeeping out of the way. Biff, bam, pop. Music, comics, video games, wrestling, geek shit. You love it. You need it. It's here. Read it. Listen to it. Put it down your pants and gyrate accordingly. Cootie, you are wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about your love of plants and songs about plants without once mentioning Robert Plant. That was low-hanging fruit, and you totally flubbed it. Just walked right by that.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me again. This was a lot of fun.
My name's Jeffrey X. Martin. You have been listening to Songs in the Key of X, and until next time.
You belong among the wildflowers. You belong in a boat out at sea. Sail away, kill off the hours.